Many of you all have been on the calls for the past several weeks. Again, Mark's done an absolutely outstanding job about just taking the information that he has applied in his life over the past 30 years and putting that into a format that he could teach to you. And he's just done a tremendous job with that. So I hope you've got yourself in a quiet spot with a notepad and a pen, because tonight you've got the opportunity to really learn from the best of the best. Mark has been doing personal training and self-development technologies for over 30 years now. He's one of the world's leading authorities on success and achievement. He's reached thousands of people. Mark's one of the most sought-out speakers and mentors in the business arena today. And you guys are very, very fortunate to get a chance to hear from him over the past several weeks, and especially on tonight's call. But most of all, Mark has really been able to achieve some amazing things, but in turn has been able to turn that back to training others how to do the same, how to apply these principles that he's been teaching and he's going to continue to teach tonight to really impact people, to cause them to bring change in their life, which obviously brings financial change and affects every other part of your life. So with that, what I'm going to do is go ahead and turn it over to my incredible friend and my business partner, Mark Scavron. So take it away, Mark.
Jeff, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to share the space with you and be introduced by you. Very, very gracious of you. Thank you. And I, too, want to welcome everyone to the call tonight, those of you that are here for the first time, many of you and hundreds of you from around the globe that have been here each and every week with us and are completing this course work that we're calling You Were Born Rich. You know, it takes a special effort, takes a special person, and a special commitment to yourself and your families, to your business, to the planet, in every way, shape, and form, for you to dedicate and commit this time to take notes and to apply these principles to your life so that you can get better and also have a positive effect on everyone and everything around you. And I recognize that, and I applaud you for it, and I appreciate you for it more than you'll know. What we're going to do is go ahead and jump in tonight right away to You Were Born Rich, Section 5. Before we do, and as we do, I want to review just for a moment some of the major takeaways from last week. You know, on our training call last week, I spoke around two areas specifically, people who are risk takers and why you need to be a risk taker, and something that we called the razor's edge. And, you know, from these sections, we learned that you have to have the capacity, in fact, that you are wired for being a dynamic and vigorous risk taker, but that you may often shrink away from taking risks because of the programming that we all received at an early age, all of those messages about be careful, stay safe, don't do that, you know, things like that. Nevertheless, you must always remember you will never hear of anyone who achieves greatness in his or her life without taking some kind of risk. And by the way, when we say risk, we're not talking about foolish risk. We're talking about calculated risk. In fact, the life of anyone who chooses to live with extreme caution and no risk will unfortunately never amount to anything more than a succession of dull and predictable days continuing on without interruption. I taught you last week that even though many of you, in fact, all of you who are risk takers, myself included, all of us that are risk takers will have failures along the way. I guarantee that. But that does not mean that you are a failure. The only time that we become a failure is if and when we decide to stop trying to pursue our callings and our dreams. I revealed to you that according to many publications, biographies, and articles written about successful people, that the one thing all of them seemed to have in common was that they followed their pursuits and they lived their lives as if it were impossible to fail. So, contrary to what many people who play all areas in their life safe will tell you, the human being, you and I, are actually designed, and if left to our own devices, we are born risk takers. In fact, we are naturally wired and programmed to follow a path which leads to greatness. In teaching about the razor's edge, I said that it has often been said that the line which separates winning from losing is as fine as a razor's edge. You know, most people grow up and are taught that some people are just better than others. Perhaps you heard that. There are the haves and the have-nots. And while we acknowledge that some people are born into more wealth or more privilege than others, that simply isn't so as a way of defining you. In fact, you're every bit as good, every bit as powerful, everyone on this phone listening to me, as anyone that you see, know, or have even heard about. Remember that the difference as they manifest on this plane is only in the area of accomplishments. In fact, Napoleon Hill, in his classic book, Think and Grow Rich, one of the most well-read books in all of history, devoted an entire chapter to the subject of persistence. And in it, he said, and I quote, there may be no heroic connotation for the word persistence, but the quality is to the character of man and woman what carbon is to steel. Finally, in wrapping it up from last week, I encouraged each of you to begin immediately and next year, 2012, by becoming an expert in one area, at least one area. The example of how to do this is as follows. I said that consider if you drive 30 minutes to work and 30 minutes from work 5 days a week every day, that you could turn off the radio and plug in a CD series. And that if you chose to spend 1 hour a day, perhaps turning your car into a classroom, studying a particular field, that in 5 years' time, it would actually equate to studying 40-hour weeks. So that's 40-hour weeks times 45 of them. And this is the equivalent of a full year of concentrated study on an area, which could make you quite an expert. Unbelievable. And now, let us continue our study as we complete the course this evening, You Were Born Rich, with our final section, shall we? I'd like to begin by talking about something that's one of my favorite subjects when it comes to wealth, abundance, happiness, success, every area of manifesting great things, and we're going to call this Don't Think in Reverse. I'm going to begin with a quote by Lalanne Val Vandewalle, which says, "Let us not look back in anger, nor forward in fear, but around us in awareness." Isn't that great? You will never obtain any substantial measure of material wealth in your life if you insist upon living your life as if you were looking back through the rearview mirror of your automobile. Think about that. What if you drove around town in your particular area of town and you mostly looked in your rearview mirror? Well, we know that that would be a catastrophe because you would crash, okay? You wouldn't get where you wanted to be. Nevertheless, this seems to be a very common error, perhaps one of the most common errors, which many people have turned into a habit. That is to say, many of us spend most of our present moments what I call floundering mentally in the time zone of the dead and should be forgotten past. You know, in the Bible, in fact, in two different Gospels, in Matthew 8:22 and Luke 9:60, and it's not my job to be your minister or pastor or anything like that, but I'm just going to tell you it's where the quotes are. There is there's verbiage, Jesus speaking, where he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. Let the dead bury the dead. When you go back and you study the original language, you could see that, in other words, as applicable to our lesson tonight, what you want to do is stop looking back in your life and worrying about things which have already occurred and which you can no longer alter. Now, I'm not speaking about something, if you did something perhaps that was an injustice or unfair, if you did something or said something that you feel badly about, and if there's an opportunity to correct it and make it right, I would encourage you to do so and clean it up authentically and then complete it so that you can move on. But generally speaking, what I'm talking about here, and when we reference this adage, let the dead bury the dead, what we're talking about is the fact that in order to pursue this kind of mental activity where you're constantly thinking about the past, which you can no longer alter, this will never lead to any worthwhile accomplishments in your life. In fact, you should understand, moreover, that all of the great achievers of the past have been visionary figures, How often do you hear about people that are great and have achieved great things being called visionaries? They were men and women who projected into the future, and they did not belabor over things which had already passed. Each one of these individuals that became great in any area, we could go through name after name after name, had numerous failures. In fact, I dare say that the people of greatness that we would define, if I went to each one of you and said, you know, write down the names of the 10 greatest people, you know, and if we possibly remove, you know, Christ or your spiritual leader or whatever. But, you know, the people, you know, in the past 100, 200, 300 years, and you list those people, the 10 greatest people, I dare say that they have failed more times than you have. The reason I can assume that, and safely so, is because I know that they, if for them to be great, you know, a Martin Luther King or Gandhi or whoever you want to pick, for them to be that great, they had to have made, you know, many, many mistakes. They had to have made many errors. They had many failures. But that does not mean they were a failure. Remember that, okay? So we refer to them as visionaries because they projected into the future. They thought of what could be. They dwelled on what could be rather than what already was. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this. You can't go back. Every one of you are intelligent human beings. You can't go back into the past and change it. Now, you can go back, as I said, if you wronged someone. You can go back and make good on something. You can go back and complete on something. But you cannot go back into the past and change something as if you had a time machine. So, and yet most humans, they make this incredible mistake on a regular basis, okay, where the people that know greatness move themselves into action by bringing the things into fruition in their lives that they wanted to be at cause for. So understand that all these great achievers always expected to do great things, and then they turned around and did them. You must understand this, that regardless of any present circumstances in which you find yourself right now, whatever the present circumstances, whatever those circumstances of health are, whatever they are about money, about relationships, work, whatever, the children, whatever's going on, and each one of us have our own things that are dealt to us or that we've caused, either consciously or subconsciously, to be in our lives. We all have circumstances that we must deal with. But what I'm telling you is that regardless of all that, clearly understand that if you can build an image, and remember we talked about image making in the very first section of this series, if you can build an image of something new in your mind, something that, now listen carefully to this verbiage, something that far surpasses anything that has occurred up until now. In other words, do you have the ability to reach down inside, no matter your failures, no matter your age, no matter your transgressions or the things that you're sorry about or the days or years wasted, do you have the ability to reach down inside and to create and summon an image and create an image that is greater and great enough to put you into action into a powerful future? If so, then you will have the ability to realize it and manifest that result in the physical world. You say, well, that's a big claim, Mark. That really is a big claim. Are you saying, like, all you have to do is sit around and think about it really powerfully and all of a sudden it's going to, you know, transform into material plane? No, of course not. But here's what I am talking about. You know, you've probably heard it said, you know, many people go around and quote, and you can get people to quote this easily, that we only use 10% of our brain. You've heard that, right? You only use 10% of our brain. And then we go to work on Monday morning, and we work with some of our coworkers or your boss, and we're sure a lot of people are working on a lot less than 10%, right? But anyway, you've heard of the expression that people use 10% of their brain. Sorry about that. Just had to have a little fun. But scientists have actually, where that came from is scientists. Scientists have estimated that our central nervous system contains, it depends on the scientist you talk to, anywhere from 10 to 100 million cells. And now here's the ironic part. Each cell, each one, has the storage capacity equal to that of a large computer. Each cell. In fact, if the estimates are even close to being correct, it would imply that the human mind has the capacity to store all of the known information in the world with plenty of room to spare. Now, isn't that amazing? What if that's only partially true? Now, pause for a moment and reflect upon the degree to which you have been utilizing this incredible power to improve the quality of your own life and the lives of those people that surround you and you care about. Now, you need not feel regret because you have not fully utilized this great power in the past. In fact, the truth is there are few people anywhere who understand the real truth concerning these hidden resources. That is the very reason why so few people, to be quite frank with you, live dynamic and exciting lives, and so many people, the masses, live lives that are confused and unproductive. It would appear to be the case that the masses of people have always lived their lives in the past tense. Remember, looking in the rearview mirror. That is to say, by virtue of holding on to old images, they are limited themselves to only half a life at best. You know, it was William James, one of the world's most distinguished early psychologists, who reached the conclusion that the average individual was only using a small portion of his or her real potential. He was one of the ones quoted as saying 10%. And he wrote, and I quote, "Most people live, whether physically, intellectually, or morally, in a very restricted circle of their potential being. They make use of a very small portion of their possible consciousness and of their soul's resources in general, much like a person who, out of their whole bodily organism, gets into the habit of using and moving only their little finger." So isn't that amazing? What he compared it to is that most humans, you know, what if you had a human that was perfectly physically in great health, but all they did was move their little finger? That's all they did, you know? There's nothing wrong with them. There was no physical impairment. There's no mental impairment that kept them from utilizing their entire body, but all they did was just move their little finger, tap their little finger, all right? And so, you know, let's explore how we can access more of this magnificent power that we have been given. And by doing so, begin to lead lives that are much more on purpose. Well, it all begins with what we learned in the beginning of the course. And again, I'm going to reference image making, very important subject. Let us begin to actually expect to receive the physical manifestation of each of these images that you create, that you know that you desire and that you want and that are good and worthy things for you to have in your life. Remember, if we are able to see ourselves doing, being, or having something, this is what we taught in the first section. If we are able to see ourselves doing, being, or having something on the screen of our conscious minds, then we are able to do, be, or have it on the physical plane of life as well. So you see, the old adage is true. What you see is what you get. Now, I am referring to your creative, and I'm going to call it your creative inner eye, okay? It's perhaps a spiritual sight that you have, which enables you to see what you can be. The creative inner eye is that magnificent part of your personality or mentality or spirituality or probably all of the above, which permits you to see into the vast reaches of the creative, non-physical, not yet manifested world. It's that, I don't mean this to sound too spooky or weird or new agey, but it's that part of you that senses you can go do something, be something, have something which you haven't done before. And that comes from that inner knowing or that inner eye. The past, conversely, is the place where all life ends. Remember that. You can't do anything and see, the past is the past. 60 seconds ago is over. There's nothing you can do about 60 seconds ago. Unfortunately, it's also the place where about 95% of the people spend about 95% of their time. You know, for example, It is accepted in, it's an accepted ritual in our culture, particularly here in the West, for old friends to spend hours and hours reminiscing or harping on about the good old days of yesteryear. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with reminiscing about great times and laughing and reminding each other and bringing forth those memories as an inspiration. But you know what I'm talking about, the people that they sit around and waste time and, quite frankly, waste their lives talking about yesterday or years past as if everything great was in the past instead of in the present or the great things coming up in the future. Hours and hours wasted, precious time wasted, living time, now time that is squandered discussing people who are dead or gone or reflecting upon the things which used to be but are of no more, are no more and are of no value. Okay, then there is another category of people. By the way, they consume the majority of their waking hours reliving in their mind past negative events which have occurred in their lives. Now, I'm going to try and speak without offending, and I encourage you to try to listen without defending, and let's just put forth the premise that everything I say to you, I say to you out of love and compassion and an attempt to maybe perhaps wake some of you up so that you can have a better life than you had yesterday. So listen carefully to me. I'm not saying everyone on the line, if it, you know, if the shoe fits, right? Okay? But there are a lot of people, and what they do is they spend valuable hours thinking about some past injustice which someone has done to them, or possibly about some unkind remark. I know people who one unkind remark made to them, they let them ruin that their day. What about the people you say, they tell you, leave me alone, I'm having a bad day. You know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. You say something, I'm having a bad day. Really? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. The whole day's bad already? And it's incredible, right? Where did we learn that? Where did we learn that? And let's and furthermore, I'm going to challenge you. Let's take responsibility for that, all right? And I know some of us on the line tonight have faced in the past, all of us have faced, you know, dire situations and circumstances and had incredible mishaps in our life, and many of them perhaps we didn't cause, and or we don't feel like we did anyway. That's a whole other seminar for a whole other time. But the point is this. You know, 10 o'clock in the morning, someone says, I'm having a bad day, all right? What about the people that bemoan and agonize over past failures, spend all their time thinking about missed opportunities, something they let slip through their fingers, something they should have said to someone, something they should – look, I know people that are in the area of sales and marketing or whatever, any time of any kind of work with other people, and they come out, well, I should have said this. I should have said that. I should have done that. I should have done that. Well, you know what? Here's the truth. You know, if I were coaching you, here's what I'd say. Maybe in retrospect, you should have. Maybe you should have. So isn't it fantastic that that lesson pops up so quickly for you and you can learn from it and take it into your next meeting? So perhaps maybe the next time. See, there's nothing you can do and go back and change what you did say or didn't say or should have done or didn't do or whatever. But, you know, but what about what I'm saying is don't spend time agonizing over it. Just use it as an opportunity to learn and move yourself forward. But no, many people, in fact, most people want to agonize over it, torture themselves over it. Unfortunately for them, these individuals, and I hope you're not one, but if you are, then embrace this technology. These individuals maintain such a negative vibration, or we're going to call this energy, that there's not even the most remote possibility of a positive thought at that time entering their level of consciousness. Understand that when you let yourself get into such an emotional state, you get into an emotional, mental, and spiritual lockdown situation, okay? And the possibility for a miracle, the possibility for change, the possibility for new energy, a new vibration, the possibility for a new cause and effect does not exist at that time in your life. Now, it may come along 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 60 minutes, or 60 days from them, okay? You know, I heard someone say, I forget who it was, but y'all could look up the quote later, but I know someone said that one of the biggest differences in winners and losers is the time it takes to get back up. How long are you going to stay down? Everyone's going to get knocked down. Indeed, the only thing that this type of thinking will ever create is resentment and or guilt. And by the way, psychologists will agree that both of these emotions, resentment and guilt, guilt, by the way, considered the most useless emotion, useless to feel guilty. Get over guilt. If you're sorry about something, make it right. Period. End of the story. With haste, by the way. And so after that, be done with it. Call it complete. Make it right. And if the person, if it involves another person, they won't let you make it right, then that's on them, not on you. And call it complete and move on. Complete it. Let the dead bury the dead, right? And so resentment and guilt are both deadly emotional states. They will kill your spirit, your creativeness, and any ability you have to they can measure. By the way, they measure this with MRIs. These are some of the lowest vibrations you can have. Resentment and guilt are some of the lowest vibratory situations, periods that you can be in. And when you're vibrating at that kind of a level, you know, when your energy is at that level, you are the furthest thing from creative you can possibly be. And until these poor souls or until you come to terms with the fact that it is themselves who have been the authors of their own misfortune, until they realize it's up to them to alter the course of their own lives, they're doomed to, guess what? Repeat the past failures over and over and over again. You know why? Because they're looking in their rearview mirror, so the only thing they can accurately do is back up. As long as they persist in believing that others are the cause of their problem, they cannot be successful. Because of course you can never successfully change anyone but yourself anyway. And by the way, y'all need to get that. That's worth the price of a $10,000 seminar. If you fully get, you can never change anyone but yourself. You say, well, I know that. No, I know you know it intellectually. Now live it. You can't change anyone but yourself. Therefore, to the extent that these people hold on to their false beliefs, they'll continue to think in reverse, view their life in reverse, and it goes without saying you cannot move ahead while your mind is traveling in the opposite direction. Your present position, okay, I'm going to encourage you to reevaluate it. Reevaluate your present position and then reexamine your future goal. So you want to jot that down because that's so powerful. Reevaluate your present position and then reexamine your future goal and see how they're lining up. Look straight ahead and fill your consciousness with great and grand thoughts of what you ultimately could do and what you could eventually become. You know, when I was a teenager, which was about 1.5 million years ago, but when I was a teenager, I got a camera for Christmas one year. And it was a Polaroid camera. You all remember the Polaroids. They're kind of very retro and vintage these days, right? The Polaroid camera, you took a snapshot and you pulled the little piece of paper out. I don't even know how to describe it now, but you pulled the piece of paper out and the paper was attached to like the cardboard photograph, and you kind of peeled that off and you set it down. You didn't touch it for 60 seconds or so, and the picture would materialize, the photograph. And then they gave you a little coating, this little thing, this little sponge you wiped across it, and it coated it. It was the old Polaroid, you know, and the film, I don't know if it had 8 or 12 or 20 or something, you know, cards in it, photographs, and you'd load it in a big pack and that kind of thing. You all remember, well, most of you remember what I'm talking about. Okay, so that was the first camera I ever had, and I used to love taking photographs. It's a wonder I didn't end up being a photographer. I had a big attraction to it for a long time. But anyway, when I would take a picture with my Polaroid, or any picture that you take, any photo that you take, for instance, if you think about it, photos are wonderful things, aren't they? But what are you doing? You're capturing the past. Am I right? Think about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking photographs. I'm giving you an example. But what you are is you're capturing an image, an activity, an occurrence, an event, people, a situation from the past. Is that right or is that wrong? When you take a photograph, are you capturing the future? No. When you take a photograph, the second after you take it, are you even capturing the present? No. You're capturing the past. Nothing wrong with that. Photography is a great thing. Jeff Pelton's a great photographer, by the way. But you know, nothing wrong with being a photographer. Now, are you ready for the astounding part of this analogy? So consider this. Clearly, if you were to take a picture of the same object, suppose what you did was take that photograph and put it on your desk blotter and hold your camera above it, and then you took a picture of the picture. So you're taking a picture of the picture, right? So then you pull out another Polaroid, which comes out right away, 60 seconds later, right? You lay that down in the blotter, and you take a picture of the picture. You set that aside, and you let the next one come out, and you take a picture. So now three or four out, you've got a picture of a picture of a picture of a picture, okay? Now, see, you could conduct that activity. You could put 20 hours a day into that activity. You could do that with a lot of intensity. You could skip meals. You could wipe the sweat off your brow. You could spend an enormous amount of money doing it. You could spend weeks doing it. You could spend years doing it. But here's what I want to tell you. You would be doing nothing more than reproducing the same photograph over and over and over again. Now, would any of you do that? Say, of course not. Doesn't even make sense. Taking a photograph of a, suppose I came up to you at your, came to your house and said, look at this. You said, what's that a picture of? I said, well, that's a picture of a picture of a picture of a picture times 15,000. I've taken 15,000 pictures of an original picture. You'd probably call a physician for me to go talk to and get my problem straightened out, right? I mean, it seems ludicrous. Do you know why? You're taking a picture of 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 something that happened way back in the past. And already the lights are going off for some of you. But you know something? As clear as that analogy is, as ridiculous as it sounds, this is precisely the course which many people set for their own lives. Isn't that sad? Isn't that tragic that we get trapped that way? See, therefore, you must constantly be reminding yourself that if you persist in thinking in reverse, you will only reproduce the same results in your life over and over again. If you take a picture of a picture of a picture of a picture, the only possibility that you have, listen carefully to me, the only possibility that you have is to take a photograph of an image of an image of an image of the past, something that happened before. So when you think in reverse, when you think in reverse, right? When you look in the rearview mirror, when you stay anchored to the past, when you bemoan in anguish and feel guilty or feel resentment or go over and over and over about the things in the past, other than to learn the lesson so you can move forward, it's as foolish as taking a picture of 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 a picture. But wait a minute. I'm going to take it one step further. You know what the most foolish thing of all is? You know what the saddest and most tragic thing of all is? Is that most people in a developed country, such as ours, will take a photograph of 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 a photograph times thousands and get frustrated because the photograph, because the image, because the manifestation doesn't change. How sad is that? You can't stay in the past and have a different future. If you wish to change this pattern, on the other hand, you must look bravely into the bright future, which lies ahead, and see yourself already doing what you now only dream about doing someday. You know, this is very important. I believe that the probable reason that so few people make plans or set goals. You know, I meet people all the time, and I like to check out their goal planning activity and their plans and see what they have for them set aside, you know, in the future. And very few of them have plans set, goals set at all. And fewer still have them written down. And almost none of them have them scheduled in their activity book or their day planner for completion. Is that most people are unable. They're just simply unable in their own mind to figure out everything, how everything necessary will come together. See, what stops people is they have a dream or a goal or a vision or an objective, but they can't figure out how it's all going to come together. Please listen carefully to me, and I promise you that when you win the lottery, you're going to send $1 million of it to me for this idea. Okay? If you do that, you're doomed. You're doomed. Because universal law, God, universal, however you want to reference it, okay, dictates this. You won't have all the pieces in place. You say, well, wait a minute, Mark, I've heard you taught on goal setting before, and you taught us, in fact, you taught us just in this course a couple of weeks ago that we should, you know, get our goals clear, and they should be absolutely specific and very clear and to the color and to the exact number, and we should pick. Absolutely, I do believe in all that. I do believe in all that. But see, then this is one of the biggest mistakes and errors in judgment that humans make. But and absolutely, I do plan. I do believe in planning everything out in the nth degree. But listen to, here's the caveat: as much as you possibly can. But then you have to be flexible and feasible, as universe moves you to and fro, and adjusts, because you are not going to be able to understand how it's all going to come together. It's part of the universal design. Okay, I mean, look at Einstein. One of the brightest men in the world, one of the most accomplished men of all time in terms of inventions and thought processes. And, I mean, who was this man? Who was this guy clothed in flesh that came out with this many ideas, this many patents, and so forth? That all he did was spend all of his days thinking of inventions. But yet he failed so many times. But, you know, when you read about Einstein, and I've studied him quite a bit, he had a whole laboratory, and he slept in it most of the time, by the way, and he had assistants that helped him and that kind of thing. But he would just throw wild ideas out there constantly. I mean, he just tried crazy things all the time, things that you and I would say are crazy. Listen carefully to me, ladies and gentlemen. You must understand that you need not know everything about how the plan will come together. In fact, the truth of it is, you will never know everything about how your plans will come together. Stop letting that paralyze you. Stop it. Stop not accomplishing because you don't see all the pieces. You will never see all the pieces. All you have to understand is this, is that the underlying principle, the underlying universal law by which your good will come, namely everything you receive in life, will come by virtue of the law of attraction. In other words, you must continually be making space for the good that you desire. Just set your goal, make the space for it, get in action, keep making the space for it, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep adjusting, keep this information constantly in the forefront of your mind, for the crucial element of this vacuum law of prosperity, we're going to call it, the vacuum law of prosperity, the crucial element is that you must let go of the old and some of these outdated ideas, and ideas from even yesterday can be outdated. And you must let go of some of that before you can ever have room for the new. Okay? So what you want to do is you want to constantly be renewing yourself. You know, in every spiritual book, no matter what religion, it talks about renewing of the spirit. A lot of talk, a lot of teaching about renewing of the spirit. And you can take it down a lot of different roads. And I'm not, although I'm a student of theology and have been for over 30 or 40 years, I'm not. I wouldn't call myself a theologian, although I'm certainly not a novice. But it's not my job to be a theologian with you tonight. My job tonight is to be your partner for what it is that you want to accomplish. And I want to tell you that in one context, to the renewing of the spirit, of this inner mind, this inner eye, this desire, this seed that's planted, you must be open to new. So in order to be open to new, you must constantly be ridding yourself of things in the past that don't serve you any longer. And by the way, let me just say this really quickly. That refers even to things that you don't care about anymore. You know, listen, if you want new clothes, first thing you need to do is go clean out your clothes closet. Get rid of some clothes. If you want new furniture, you know what you need to do? Get a bunch of the furniture you hate, give it away. Seriously. You say, well, I don't have the money to get new furniture yet. That's right. You go cause the space for it. Okay? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I could spend a whole seminar here. I've given away clothing, furniture. I gave away an automobile. I've given away household items and money many, 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 many times. And, you know, it always has a cause and effect law. Now, by the way, this law applies not only to our physical world, but also to our mental domain. And this is what I want to get at. So understand that whenever we wish to entertain new ideas, when we want new solutions to come, you say, I really need a new solution, then you must first be willing to let go of or to at least challenge some of the old ones. Unfortunately, there is a large, very large segment of the population which has an exceedingly difficult time achieving this end. And because of this, these troubled individuals often entertain opposing contradictory ideas at one time, all at one time, all at the same time. They live their entire lives in a state of oscillation. In other words, these are people that, and maybe some of you might be, some of these people, and I'm not making fun, I'm just pointing out to you something that you could change, but people that think, do it, don't do it. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Do it, don't do it. Should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Well, you know, psychologists would refer to this mental state as indecision. But I want you to know that it leads to considerable mental anguish and confusion. And be aware that this indecision or confusion can be one of the greatest, perhaps the greatest, cause of people being held back from accomplishing great things which they could accomplish. I mean, not everyone on this phone listening to me tonight wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Not everyone on the phone tonight wants to go to the moon in a spaceship. Not everyone on the phone tonight wants to discover the cure to cancer. Not everyone on the phone tonight wants to do a particular thing, you know, feed every starving child in Africa. Not everyone on the phone tonight wants to do any single thing. So my point is this. Many of you have great, fantastic, wonderful, admirable goals that would be fantastic if you achieved them. But it's not like you're talking about, you know, shifting the earth on its axis with some of your goals. And there are things that you could accomplish and accomplish them with Godspeed, actually. But you'll never do that if you let yourself be in a state of indecision and confusion. And I personally believe it's one of the things that hold people back the most. Why is it that we hold on to so strongly to old ideas or to old things? Well, you know, almost all of the answers which you would receive, you know, to help you deal with situations, to help you get solutions, help you to achieve what you want to achieve. You have to look, most people, they deal with secondary causes and not the primary one of these horrendous problems that plague their lives. They look at the secondary causes. They try to handle the secondary cause. You know, I'll give you, for instance, you know, I don't have enough money. If you say, I don't have enough money, I need more money, I don't have enough money. Well, you say, if I were to say, what's your biggest problem? I don't have enough money. No, that's not your biggest problem. That's a secondary cause. That is a cause. There is a larger problem that causes you, because let me ask you this, is there enough money on the planet? I mean, is there a lot of money on the planet? Yes. Is there more money on the planet than you need or want? Yes. Okay. Well, there's enough money. It's just that you don't have what you desire. So by you saying, well, I don't have enough money, if I say, what's your problem? I don't have enough money. No, that's a cause. That's the flower. Okay, that's not the root. There's another cause. And what I'm teaching you is to be able to dig down and to get to the solutions. But, you know, listen, we hold on to old ideas and old things, and this is one of the things that keeps us from the solution. We hold on to old ideas and old things. Here's why. Only one reason. Listen carefully. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. We hold on to old ideas and old things that do not serve us in any way. In fact, they prove they don't serve us, or they serve us in a way that keeps us from our accomplishments. But we hold on to them for one reason alone, because we lack the faith in our ability to obtain new ideas, new things, new accomplishments. This, of course, leads to a further condition of insecurity, which stems at its root from an inability to understand who and what you are, and a lack of awareness of your true relationship. And I don't want to be too woo-woo with you, but I'm going to tell you that I'm not going to shelter you from the truth. It comes from a lack of awareness that you are connected with an infinite power that will always leave you with the answers, with the solutions, with the achievements that you desire. And see, where this goes back to, where this has its root, is in our need. Remember, I talked about our need to always want to know where everything's coming from and how it's all got to come together, and I've got to be able to see it all. That in itself is, see, if you're a person, listen carefully to me, if you're a person who doesn't accomplish some things because of some of the indecision and the confusion, and do I do it or don't I do it? Then you are a person. You are then a person, naturally, who is a person who needs to know, or you want to know, everything about how it's got to come together. You got to see where's it all coming from? Okay? Listen, you must reach the point where you realize that your true self, the true self, knows no limits. And that in truth, you are quite capable of having, doing, or being virtually anything that you desire to be. If you so desire, you may put this vacuum law of prosperity to a very simple and practical test for yourself. Now, you can do this, or you can just think with me about this. You can imagine this. If you took a ceramic coffee mug and you put it on your table in a particular spot. So either do it or picture that your ceramic coffee mug is in a particular spot on the table, in an exact spot, or on your desk, okay? Then ask yourself a very simple question. Are you able to put anything else where the cup rests? Now, it's not a trick question. The answer is, oh, yeah, I can put it in the cup. That's not what I mean. That'd be a clever answer, but that's not what I'm looking for. You know, if it's a cup, if it's a book, okay, if it's a stone, if it's a rock, whatever, are you able to put anything else there? The obvious answer is, of course, you cannot, at least not until you remove the cup. Well, the same principle holds true with anything. You can't put a sofa where a sofa is, okay? I mean, I guess you could. It would look kind of funny if you put a sofa on top of a sofa. But the point is, right? So you have to understand similarly, okay, you can't put a new idea where an old idea won't give way, okay? This whole principle and this law is applicable to the realm of ideas. For example, if you have one idea in your mind suggesting that you should be traveling east, and then all of a sudden another idea pops into your mind suggesting that you should be traveling west, it goes without saying that you will be placed in a serious bind. For there's absolutely no way that you can travel in both directions simultaneously, you know, at the very same time. You can't do it. Clearly, it's absolutely essential that you let go of the one idea before you can move yourself into action on the other. The reason for this, as we have already stated, is that nature truly abhors a vacuum. Therefore, if you sincerely desire to receive something which is new, isn't that what you want? You must first make room for it by ridding yourself of that which is old, which are usually old and outdated and false ideas. And this, my friends, whether you like it or not, or whether you want to get on with it or not, or whether you accept it or not, is an ironclad law of life and physics. And yet you might encounter one person in 1,000 who truly understands it. Okay, it's not necessary that you hold on to anything for fear of losing it. In fact, the truth is you will never truly enjoy anything that you must hold on to. Listen to this idea. You'll never truly enjoy anything that you feel like you must hold on to, because freedom in all negative areas of your life is absolutely essential if you are to grow into the truly great human being who you are quite capable of becoming. Stated slightly differently, we can say that energy must flow through you freely without any obstructions. And if you are to achieve the good that you desire, you must constantly free yourself from these old, outdated, and false obstructive ideas. So at this point, you're probably asking, what are these obstructions? What are you referring to, Mark? Let me list some of them. They include doubt, guilt, resentment, and any thought at all of lack or limitation. They include any negative ideas which have a tendency to block the flow of creative energy to and through you. So, you know, for example, you might be very well tempted to get a beautiful image in your mind of the future, something you want to be a cause for, something you want in your life for you and your family, something that makes you feel wonderful, something you know you deserve. And yet, because of these inhibitors, these other emotions and thoughts that I just mentioned, they are, as they're sometimes called, you end up with nothing but frustration. Your problem, in this example, and in life, whether you realize it or not, is you haven't created the space for the beautiful image. Remember image making from the very first section, which you are trying to create. Therefore, you must resolve yourself to let go of anything that doesn't contribute to the new space that you're trying to create. You must let go of all these obstructions to enable yourself to make a space for the good, ladies and gentlemen, that you desire. Okay. What I want to do right before I close out, I want to read a poem to you, and then we're going to, then I have a couple more comments, and we'll be done in about 3 minutes. I want to read a poem to you by James Metcalf. It's absolutely very inspirational and fantastic. Just listen to the words. Let the words glaze over you and refresh you. The poem's called It's Up to Me. I get discouraged now and then when there are clouds of gray until I think about the things that happened yesterday. I do not mean the day before or those of months ago, but all the yesterdays in which that I had a chance to grow. I think of opportunities that I allowed to die and those I took advantage of before they passed me by. And I remember that the past presented quite a plight, but somehow I endured it and the future seemed all right. And I remind myself that I am capable and free and my success and happiness are really up to me. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, we're going to get ready and close out the session and the course tonight. Let me give you a quick reminder in case you were not on at the beginning of tonight's call that we will not be having any more training calls for the balance of this year. So no calls on Monday, December the 19th or the 26th. So enjoy the holidays. Be certain to join us again Monday, January 2nd at 8:30 p.m. for our first call of 2012, which we usually train on goal setting and planning the year. You don't want to miss that. Finally, as Jeff suggested at the beginning of this call this evening, we are offering a completely free gift to each one of you as an expression of our love and in the same spirit that I just got done teaching on tonight. And we'd like to give something to each one of you. What Jeff and I have done is taken the course over quite a period of time. We've taken the course You Were Born Rich. We've combined it with several other courses. And along with much of our own work from past experience and seminars for the past 25-plus years, we've distilled it down to a basic outline of the key components of success for attracting abundance. We've created an e-book, and the e-book is called Cracking the Wealth Code. Cracking the Wealth Code. And we're going to make it available to you absolutely free, no strings attached. The only thing you have to do is to redeem the e-book. All you have to do is send me an email with the following information. Send me your name, send me your email address, and send me your phone number in case I call to say hi and ask you about the last thing I want to ask you to put in the email. Tell me the biggest insight or takeaway from this course. So I'd like to have your name, your email address, your phone number, but also the biggest takeaway insight from the course. Send this to me at mark@marksgovern.com. So it's Mark with a K, M-A-R-K, at Mark Scovern, which is M-A-R-K. Scovern is S-K-O-V like Victor, R-O-N like Nancy, mark@marksgovern.com. Send me your name, your email address, your phone number, and the biggest takeaway or insight from the course, and I will shortly email you the downloadable version of our ebook, Cracking the Wealth Code. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been wonderful. It's been a great time spending this time of the course with you. This has been Mark Scovern Live from Tampa Bay, Florida. And on behalf of Jeff Pelton and myself, create a great remainder of 2011, and good night, everyone.